Well, it is evident from the first three verses of this passage that Jesus did not intend staying in Jericho. He was simply passing through. But that gave Zacchaeus the opportunity of seeking him. It's ironic that his name, the name Zacchaeus, means pure or righteous. The man is unknown to us apart from this event. And what we need to remember is that he is not just simply a tax collector like others that we've met in the Gospels, but he is a chief tax collector. Now, Jericho was a prosperous trading center. And so it is certain that Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man. And in these verses that we have before us in Luke's Gospel 19, 1 to 10, we are considering the story of a wealthy publican becoming a disciple of Christ. Zacchaeus was a covetous tax collector who was transformed into a liberal Christian. Now, let me explain what I mean by the word liberal. I'm not meaning that he was liberal in his theology. If you go over there to Proverbs chapter 11 and at verse 24 and 25, we read these words. Proverbs chapter 11, 24 and 25. It says, "One gives freely, yet grows all richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered." In other words, one of the marks that a person has been saved by grace, that they're truly in Christ, is that they give, that they're generous in their giving. Now, that is not just in financial giving alone, there is that implication. When one is saved by grace, they're generous in giving hospitality. They're generous in giving kindness. They're generous in showing forgiveness. They're generous in showing mercy. They're generous in showing love. And in these verses before us is described the conversion of a soul. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 said this, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come." And so I want to look at this passage this morning, and I've entitled it, "A Transformed Life." And first of all, I want us to notice from verses 3 and 4 that we have a longing heart. Zacchaeus had a longing heart. Let me read those verses to you. "And he was seeking to see Jesus, who he was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way." In these verses we learn that Zacchaeus was desperate to meet with Jesus. Listen to what the Bible commentator William Hendrickson has to say. It says, "Being small, he was unable to catch a view of Jesus. Nevertheless, so deep was his interest in the Master that he was willing to do almost anything to see him. So, knowing where Jesus was going, he quickly ran ahead of the crowd, and then, important man though he was, climbed up into a sycamore tree, one of those that had been planted by the roadside. It was so-called sycamore fig tree and is highly prized for the shade it provides. Moreover, since some of its branches extend from the trunk close to the ground, even a man like Zacchaeus, small in stature, could climb onto it. You see, a small person could get out onto the branch of the tree and hang over the road. Now, this was an undignified position for a man of Zacchaeus' rank. But what we've got to remember is that he was desperate to see Jesus. He had a longing in his heart to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle penned the following words. He says, curiosity, and nothing but curiosity, appears to have been the motive of his mind. That curiosity once aroused, Zacchaeus was determined to gratify it. Wonder this morning, as you sit in this congregation, Newtown Evangelical Church, have you a longing in your heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Maybe it is that you've sat under the gospel for weeks and for months. You've heard others giving testimony to saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And you long to know the Savior that they know. You long to have assurance that you're born again of the Spirit of God, that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that you're saved by grace, and you're certain of heaven. Do you have a longing in your heart to know Christ? Do you have a longing in your heart to have an assurance that you know Christ? But secondly, we notice not only did Zacchaeus have a longing heart, but he had a prepared heart. A prepared heart. Look there in verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Again, listen to William Hendrickson. He says it is especially significant to note that although Zacchaeus was certainly very eager to see Jesus, it was Jesus, not the chief tax collector, who took the initiative in arranging a personal contact between the two. It was Jesus who was seeking and saving the lost. Verse 10. And how important it is to grasp this truth, to remind ourselves, as the psalmist does in Psalm 3 and verse 8, that salvation belongs to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You see, God, by His Holy Spirit, is working in our hearts, creating that longing, that desire to know Christ. The preparation of the heart belongs to the Lord. You see, we read there that when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. He looked up in full knowledge of who was in the tree. Then he said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must stay at your house. Wonderful, isn't it, when we hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts? Bernd Heim, in one of his lovely hymns, puts it like this. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Softly pleading with your heart. Have you heard the Savior calling all to leave and follow him? Have you heard his voice? Are you hearing his voice? Through his word? Speaking to your heart? Week after week, listening to the gospel, listening to the word of God being expounded and opened up to us. Oh, it's a precious, precious thing when the word of God comes to our hearts. You see, it's significant that Jesus did not say to the man in the tree, will it be convenient for me to call with you, to visit you? When I'm doing pastoral visiting, prior to the visit, I will phone the person that I want to go and see, and I will say to them, would it be convenient for me to call with you today? Or would there be a more convenient time for me to call with you this week? No, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus says, make haste and come down. You see, the word of God had come to Zacchaeus with authority. And we read of how he came down. He made haste. He didn't delay. He came down. What does that tell us? He humbled himself. He came down from the tree. But beloved, that might be saying to us today, there are some, and they may need to come down from the tree of their self-righteousness. They may need to humble themselves. You see, any of us, when we come to Christ, we need to humble ourselves. For he humbled himself. He left the splendors of heaven and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But notice we read in verse 6 that he received Christ joyfully. That's why I say that Zacchaeus had a prepared heart. He had a prepared heart to receive Christ joyfully. In other words, put it the other way around. Why did he receive him joyfully? Because his heart was prepared to do so. That's a wonderful thing. The moment that we pass from death unto life, spiritually speaking, the moment that we come from darkness into the light of the gospel, is a joyful moment. We'll be looking at Psalm 40 this evening, and we'll be looking at that. One of the verse there will be in it. He put a new song in my mouth because we have something worth singing about. But it's a wonderful thing when we know that the Lord has prepared our hearts and we've received Christ joyfully. Let me ask you this morning, have you received Christ? Is there a joy in your heart because you have sins forgiven, you're redeemed by the precious blood, you have an assurance of salvation, you've been brought into the family and fold of God, and you appreciate the fellowship of the gospel. Not only do we have a longing heart and a prepared heart, but I want us to notice thirdly and finally that we have a changed heart. There in verse 8, we read,
And Zacchaeus, read from verse 7. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore him fourfold. You see, a radical change had taken place in Zacchaeus' heart and life. There was confession of sin. There was an act of repentance. There was confession of faith. There was a reality in his speech. Here was the proof that Zacchaeus was a new creation in Christ. Notice that he said he would restore them fourfold. You see, Zacchaeus' willingness to make restitution was the proof that his conversion was real, that it was genuine. Now notice that it was the fruit, not the condition of his salvation. We don't come into salvation blessing because we decide to reform our lives. No, a change had taken place in Zacchaeus' life, and there was evidence, there was fruit. There was evidence that he was a changed man. Listen again to Jairus' Uriah. It says, faith that does not change the heart is not faith at all. Grace that cannot be seen like light and tasted like salt is not grace, but hypocrisy. Wonder, can we speak of a change being brought about in our hearts and our lives because what the Lord has done. You see, even those of us who had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, there should always be the change. New desires, new longings, new aspirations after Christ. A desire for the place of prayer. A longing for the Word of God. A delighting in the people of God. Oh, the change that comes about in a life that is saved by grace. Beloved, I wonder this morning, can you give testimony to how you had a longing heart, how God has prepared your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is evidence in your life that you are changed, that you are saved by grace. May the Lord help us to know the reality of these words in our own experience.